All right, open your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1. We're talking about choices, making good choices. And tonight I want to share with you, as we mind the time, that tonight we want to look at Daniel. And Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to make a choice. A choice for the right, or the choice for the things of this world. My friend, can I tell you, they chose rightly. And my friend, we are challenged today by the world and every aspect of life. And may we choose wisely tonight. Daniel chapter number 1 and verse number 1 says this: "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God," little g, "and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his," little g, "God. And the king spake to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine, which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego." My friend, I want to use this passage of Scripture to show you where we are in a world of change. A world of change. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Lead us and guide us. And Lord, may we be drawn closer to you each and every way and each step of the way. And dear Lord, when another decision comes across our path, may we make the right choice to choose rightly of the things of God. And Lord, I pray you use this challenge tonight. Help us to see the great need today for ministry, great need today for Christians to stand up, and dear Lord, to stand true, to stand firm, and dear Lord, to move forward. To go not just where everybody else is, but to do more for Thee. But Lord, bless this evening. We love You. We praise You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, we are living in a world of change. We are. I mean, we're not living in the same world that we had 20 years ago. We're not living, while we're living on planet Earth, I know we're living on planet Earth. But if we were to go back over to 1 John and read over in 1 John where it tells us to love not the world, neither the things of the world, for the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And he talks about that all the things in the world, they're appeasing to us, but we ought not to love them. Because any man loves them, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, even back in the New Testament, the Lord was telling us that the things of this world ought not be of our world. Does that make sense to you? As a child of God, I'm not of this world. I'm not from here anymore. Amen? Yeah. I am heaven bound. I have a new king. I have a new land. Amen? Yeah. We sing, "This world is not my home." I think I sung that earlier. "I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Amen? Why? Because this world is not my home. I have a heavenly home. We've been traveling quite a bit, and I did miss my home. We were in the camper traveling down to Florida. We were in that little tiny camper for 4 months straight, away from home. When we finally were able to make it home, it was like, oh, we made it. Amen? We made it.
But even then, they're doing different things out in the front yard. City people had come in, they dug up the front road, and they're laying new pipe and changing out the pipes for water. They had to cut the water off for a little bit. That's a change. But my friend, I'm talking about we're in a world of change for the things we used to abhor in times past in secular world are now commonplace today. And years gone past, on TV, regular general TV, the hardest thing we used to watch was Andy Griffin. And whether Barney was going to shoot himself in the foot with his one bullet. You know? But today, my friend, today you turn on the TV, everybody's got a gun. Everybody's shooting it off. There are explosions. There are cars. There's brakes. Hey, they push and push and push and push that it is great to be illegal.
Yes.
And it's great to break the law. And if you're doing it for a good purpose and a good right thing, it's okay. We're living in a world of change. We're living in a world today to where it's okay now for those which were once in the closet, the homosexuals, the sodomites are now out in the open. They're forward with what they are. So much the more that they think we're the ones that are strange. And those that follow them think that we're strange. Even so strange that it's getting closer and closer to where they are now going to be soon monitoring what we say as preachers and apt even to bring charges and jail time because of we mentioned what God calls an abomination.
Right.
He destroyed a whole city, two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, for their sin. And my friend, we are in a world of change. We're in a world of change. And there's so many more things. World of change politically. World of change socially. World of change in the realm of music. To where now anything goes. Anything goes. And my friend, everybody goes, oh, wasn't that neat? In times past, we would have screamed, we would have yelled, we would have written to the TV people, we would have written to the movie people, we would have written to our congressmen, we would have written to the Senate, we would have written to everybody and complain and pick it and everything. But now we just accept it. We live in a world of change. But oh, my friend, can I tell you something? In this world of change, we ought not change with it.
That's right. Amen.
And if we are already in this world and you've just gotten saved or haven't really grown in the Lord, my friend, we need to make a world of change.
Right.
And get to where we need to be. You see, tonight I want to show you real quickly about these three men, or they're young boys. But what happened here is that the children of Israel were living very well in their land. And God brought down an enemy, and the enemy took over the nation. And in taking over the nation and going into Jerusalem and taking over the temple there, they took things that were used in the temple and dragged them off to a foreign land to be used and to a place of a god, a little small g, idol worship.
Right.
The things that were used for worshiping the Lord were now being used for idol worship. But only that, as we see here. The king said, I want you to go into the land and grab the brightest young men. I want you to grab the ones that are smart in science and the things of learning. These are guys that knew math and knew the stars. They're young, but they've got teachability. And I want you to bring them to me. And I want you to put them with this eunuch guy. And then I want you to teach them. I don't want you to do these things. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because we're going to approach these things. To see what they wanted to do was the Babylonians wanted to take the Jewish people, God's people, and make them become like Babylonians. And the Babylonians were doing wicked things. Things that we would now, that were back then, even more so now, are called worldly. But they didn't bow. They didn't change. But can I tell you something? That's not just what's going on in the outside world that's trying to change us individually. But I'm here to tell you, per our ministry of church strengthening and church planning, is that the fact that it's happening in our churches. Our churches are getting more liberal. And our churches are changing. And you'll see the connection here in regards to what's happening in a world of change in our churches. And of course, our churches because our people are changing.
You're right.
Our people are changing.
Right.
First of all, I want you to see here in verse number 4. In verse number 4 of Daniel chapter number 1. He says, I want children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. These just weren't any young men. These were the brightest. He says, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. First of all, I want to start with the learning. See, they wanted to come in and change a world of change. They wanted to change their culture. They wanted to change their culture. The Jewish people, they dressed a certain way. They acted a certain way. But these Chaldeans, they wanted them to come in and change their clothing. They wanted them to dress different. And can I tell you something? That's exactly what the world wants to do for our children and for our churches and for you. They want you to think that the old-fashioned way of dressing is not cool. It's old-fashioned. It's not for today. It's outdated. And they want you to wear less and less and less and less. I've already mentioned they want you to not only change your culture and your style of dress, but they also want to change our culture and our music.
Yes, sir.
Which all in all changes our values and changes our morals and our morality. And my friend, if they can do that in the church by getting the individuals to change, oh my friend, that we're in a world of hurt. I've heard preachers say that we're just one generation from the church slipping off into apostasy. Turning away from God. We're just one generation. There are many churches that it's more about the music, it's more about how they look and about the performance than it is about the Word of God.
Right.
Because they want to change. This world wants to change our culture.
Yeah.
But my Bible says we ought to have a culture of heaven.
Amen.
Jesus again and again said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And my friend, we need to be walking like we are in that kingdom of heaven. Amen. So they wanted to change their culture. Secondly, I want you to see they wanted to change their language. The same little verse there, teaching the learning of the Chaldeans, but also and the tongue. They wanted to, secondly, change their language. They wanted to change their language. How does that apply to us? Oh, the world doesn't want us to speak cleanly and plainly and honestly. The world wants us to use dirty language. The world wants us to use profanity. The Lord wants us to take the Lord's name in vain when we need to be taking the Lord's name unto glory.
Amen.
They're changing our language. They don't want us, secondly, to use Bible terminologies.
Yeah.
They don't want us to call the drunkards. We don't want us, they want us to call the fornicators. They don't want us to call the adulterers. They don't want us to call the sodomites. They all have different terminologies now. They want us to change all that and start talking in the realm of psychology and those kind of realms and speaking in these fashions. But my friend, can I tell you something? We need not change our language from the biblical language, but we do need to clean up our act, and we do need to clean up our tongue, and we do need to speak rightly of the things of God. But not only speak it, but my friend, we need to hear the good things.
Right.
We need to hear the good things. And let the good things come into our ears. The world wants to change your language.
Yeah.
This world wants to change your culture. Thirdly, they wanted to change their diet.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to change their diet. Verse 5. Here in verse number 5, it says, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. Now this meat was offered unto idols.
Yeah.
But not only that, and of the wine which he drank. I'm sure that wasn't, as we would know, in the promised land of fresh grape juice. I'm sure this wine was a little bit fermented. A little bit fermented. He wanted to change their diet. He wanted them to eat meat that was offered unto idols. They wanted them to change their diet and to drink the things that they should not have touched. And here I want to tell you, my friend, that's what the world wants us to do. The world wants us to change our diets. And I'm changing this over to a spiritual application. You see? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how we're supposed to feed upon. That's what we're supposed to do. The Bible says that come, taste and see that the Lord is good. And my friend, we need to have a daily diet. I mentioned this morning in Sunday school what we need to do more. Amen? Let's go and do more. Let's read more. Let's read the right things more. Let's read the Bible more. Amen? But the world wants us to read and bring into our diet and bring into our eyes and bring into our ears those things which are secular, those things which are worldly, those things which are perverted. They don't want us to read our King James Bible anymore. That's why they bring up a new perversion every week. That's why they want us to read about psychology, and TV preachers will give you a false king's meat, a false doctrine by the false teachers. My friend, we need to have a good diet and be in the right place and be in this place to get a good diet of the Word of God, the true Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
But the world, they want to change your diet. They wanted to change their diet. Nothing's changed. Fourthly, I want you to see, they wanted them to change their names.
Yes.
They wanted them to change their names. Verse number 7. We already know who these are. Verse number 6 again. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel these names, Belteshazzar and Hananiah. And you get the idea. They wanted to change their name. Look, these boys had good Hebrew names. They had great Hebrew names. But the wicked world, the wicked Chaldeans, didn't want them to have their good godly names anymore. They wanted them to change them to worldly names. And my friend, can I tell you something? The world wants us to change our name too. They don't like the fact that we're called Baptist. They think the name Baptist is offensive.
Yeah.
They think us Baptists are ones that always going around telling people that they're going to die and go to hell.
Right.
Well, we do, but can I tell you something? We also try to tell them how to get to heaven.
Yes.
The glory of heaven is more than the fact that we're not going to hell. But my friend, if you choose not heaven, we got to tell them where they're going. But can I tell you something? They don't like us Baptists because they don't like us telling them that they're in their sin.
That's right.
You are a sinner. Oh,
come on.
Dirty three-letter word. No, sin. You are a sin in or yeah. 6-letter word. Sinner. I can count. It's 3 letters on this hand and 3 letters on this one over here. Amen. You are a sinner. They don't like to hear that. They don't want to hear that. They want to change our names. So they want to change our names for these things. And they want us to drop the name Baptist. Knowing they don't want to, do they want us to drop the name Baptist? Because they also want us to drop the name church. Oh, the church has been offensive through the ages. And if we remove the name church, then we'll be able to get more people. If we remove the name Baptist, we'll be able to get more people. So then we'll go in and just use one word names. Like, come to faith. Come to Cornerstone. They don't tell you who the Cornerstone is.
Right.
They don't tell you what they believe. They don't want us to stand on the truth and the Baptist ways, but the Baptist ways are the Bible ways.
Yes.
A way that may seem right unto man, but my friend, we don't need to go the way that's right unto man. We need to stay true to the Word of God.
Yes.
Understand? We need to keep our names and tell people who we are and not dropping Baptists off our names. This is what's happening in our churches. We're embracing all these cultural things. We're embracing all these things and going into the learning and the tongue and the speaking and changing our meal that we're giving to people. We're not giving them Scripture anymore. We're giving them philosophy and we're giving them psychology and we're telling them story upon story upon story. Well, we need to be teaching them the principles and the doctrines of the faith.
Right.
No wonder so many of our folks come and they sit and they leave and they're sucked in by other weak denominational cultish programs because they have no firm foundation. We sing that song, "How Firm a Foundation is Jesus our Lord." But my friend, can I tell you something? We have to keep our feet and make a choice and going the right way. Here's my last point and we're done. I want you to see this one. It's there. Who did the king give these men over to? Verse number 3. He gave them unto the master of the eunuchs. And there the eunuchs took them. And the eunuchs made that they could no longer produce or reproduce. So that's my last point. The world wanted to change them and change them to their ability to stop their ability to reproduce. So what are you trying to say, Brother Holtzclaw? What I'm trying to say here, the world does not want us to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can be born again. They don't want us to go out there and win people to Christ and win them unto Him and so that they can be now children birthed into the kingdom of heaven. And my friend, when we start embracing these other things, and we start embracing the worldliness, and we start embracing the things of the Chaldeans or wherever it may be, but we get away from the Bible, and we get away from the Scriptures, and we allow our hearts to drift, my friend, what will happen is that we will stop going to tell people about Jesus. We will stop sharing about His love. We will stop telling people that they're going to hell. And we're going to stop telling them about heaven. We're going to look at people like others do and just say, God bless you. May the Lord be with you. Oh, isn't the sun shining? That's the Lord. My friend, we have to show people the love of God. And we need to share with them the love of God. But in our churches today, they have gone over here to this side and they have chosen to embrace the things of this world instead of staying true to God, true to faith, true to the things of the Lord. And my friend, when that happens, they are no longer a church. They need to move church off their name.
That's right.
And they're preaching another gospel. And they're using a perverted Bible. They need to drop Baptists from their name.
That's right.
So the question is, where did it start? Did these churches go that way? Just all of a sudden, overnight, poof! No. They don't. There's been just little changes in choice by what music you start listening to, what programs you start watching, the people you start hanging around with, and allowing things to be okay. And the more you hang around it, the more comfortable you get with it. And the more, the Bible says that these that have gone away, that their conscience is seared. And little by little, if we keep playing with fire, you will get burned. And we get closer to it. And we get closer to it. And what we're saying is that I'd rather choose this than choose Jesus. And my friend, tonight, I'm closing down. Here's my point. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today.
That's right.
So where are you at in your spiritual life? How many choices have you made to embrace the things of this world when you should be going this way towards God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel. They chose the right way. They went before the eunuch and said, hey, let us not eat the king's meat. Let us not defile ourselves with these things. And the eunuch says, you're going to get me in trouble. And he said, no, our God will see us through. And they did the right thing.
Amen.
Let's read it. Let's go to that. Let's read it. Let's finish it out. Verse 19. Verse 18, and now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, and the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them was found none. Out of all the Jewish boys that came in, out of all of them that were brought in, only these four stood true for the Lord. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all that the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the year of King Cyrus. Can I tell you something? One day the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to come back. And when he comes back, my friend, when that trumpet's going to sound, is he going to find you? Is He going to find you healthy in the things of the Lord? Is He going to find you moving forward in the things of the Lord? Is He going to find you participating in the things of God and having chosen the right way and have selected these things for your life? And when the temptation comes to change and the temptation comes to get into cultural things and the temptation comes, you say, no, I don't want any of that. But when the King of Kings comes, will He find you better than the all? Will He find you serving Him? Will He find you because you've made the right choice? And can I tell you something? You will be stronger. You will be more connected with the Lord. You will be more wiser by checking off in the right box and making the right choices. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, this is where the rubber meets the road. Are you growing stronger in the Lord because you've decided to choose the right path, to choose a right diet, to choose the right culture? You've chosen these things and you're continuing to grow in the Lord? Or have you decided to slip here? Have you decided to slide there? Have you decided to just kind of let things go? I used to be faithful, but you know, other things have become more important. I used to go out soul winning, but you know, I just found that I just don't have the time anymore. I used to read my Bible a lot, but you know, other things just came to be more important. I used to not watch so much TV, but I sure do watch a lot of it now. I used to not ever hang around bad people, but all of a sudden I find myself being around them and talking with them. Oh, my friend, listen to me. Listen to me. The Lord is coming back. And when the King comes, will He find you better than them all? Will He find you serving, going, and growing in the Lord? We have what is called an old-fashioned invitation in each service. And at each service is an opportunity for you to choose. Am I going to obey God tonight? Or am I just going to let it slip and choose the other? With their heads bowed and eyes closed, who tonight would raise their hand and say, Brother Holtzclaw, I know that I'm saved. I know beyond a shadow of doubt, if I were to die today, that heaven would be my home. And as a testimony to the Lord, Brother Tim, here's my hand. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. All across the room. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands down. Would there be anybody here tonight and say, Brother Holtzclaw, I do not know if I were to die today that I'd go to heaven? I really don't know. But I really would like to know. Would you pray for me, Brother Tim? Here's my hand. I don't know. But I sure would like to know about Jesus. I sure would like to know about whether I'm going to heaven or not. I want to choose Jesus tonight. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me tonight? Thank you, buddy. Would there be anybody else tonight? Okay. I don't know how to ask this next question, but other than to say, who tonight would say, Brother Holtzclaw, I needed that challenge. Because there's some things in my life that I started choosing the wrong way. Their heads bowed and eyes closed. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? I needed that message tonight. Amen. I need that message tonight. I need to make some wise choices. Because the world is pulling on me. Thank you. Put your hands down. Would there be anybody else that will join these? The world is pulling on me. I'm listening to the wrong station. I'm watching the wrong TV. I'm going the wrong place. I got the wrong... It's more than that, my friend. Maybe you just decided to drop doing what you're doing. Who tonight said, Brother Holtzclaw, all in all, I needed that tonight. Here's my hand. Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you to choose to do something about it this week? Can I get you right now to choose to build an altar in your heart right now unto the Lord? And whatever it is that God spoke to you about, that you do something about it tonight. That you do something about it tonight. This is your revival. We only have so many meetings. We're not promised tomorrow. Can I encourage you to come to an old-fashioned altar? We're going to pray. And we're going to have some music just like we do. Can I encourage you to come and lead the way? To Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We praise You. Thank You for this evening. Thank You for these young boys that stood up for the right and did not participate in the things of the world and how You found favor in them. And my friend, they stood out. And Lord, tonight we're tempted on every hand. We're on every side. We're bashed about so easily. And pray, dear Lord, that we'll stand firm and stand strong. But dear Lord, at times we slip. We choose the wrong way. Lord, help us tonight to choose wisely and choose the things of God tonight. And Lord, help us to repent of what we've done and now accept that which You have us to do. Lord, bless this invitation. We give it unto You.